Mark the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. We have come to yet another end of our church's calendar. We don't follow a typical calendar of January through December. We have a liturgical calendar, kind of what you can see with the various types of seasons in the church here. Actually, the banners that we just put up all around you here today point to that. And we are just on the cusp of a new church year starting next Sunday, with the season of Advent. It'll be purple up here, purple with the Advent wreath and the candles, and all as we anticipate the coming of the Christ child at Christmas. Today, though, is the last Sunday of the church year. And as we look around in our scripture readings today, and as we look around in our world today, we see all of the signs and wonders of the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. So said a band from Athens, Georgia, named REM, and I feel fine. As we look around at the end of the world, though, it's hard to imagine everything coming to an abrupt end. We're more inclined to things of slowing down or wasting away. We're more inclined to think that this world will sort of slowly decline, sort of like the battery on your phone or your iPod. We simply can't fathom the idea of a final day, a day where everything vanishes in a flash. Peter says in his own epistle that the elemental things, that he means there, the earth, the air, the fire, and the water, they will be simply destroyed. It doesn't seem possible. In fact, it doesn't seem possible at all that maybe even God created this heavens or this earth. But he has. And there is an appointed time for its end as well. Jesus speaks of the signs in the heavens today. The sun darkened, the moon not giving light, the stars falling from heaven, the powers in the heavens being shaken. Nothing like we have ever experienced in this life, whether natural or man-made, whether hurricane, tornado, earthquake, atomic bomb, it does not matter. None of these can compare to what Jesus is describing today. And so left with this all faced to you today, left with these words from Mark 13 today, what are we left to do? The tendency is to either doubt these words, to slough them off, to say these things don't matter, or to be filled with immense fear and intrepidation. Either we doubt all of this end times talk and go about our business as if the world will go on forever, and there's really nothing unusual about that. Several people have done it in the past, and we do it today. Or we dread the end coming near. We live in fear, looking at signs and wonders in the sky, hearing about wars and rumors of wars and acts of terror happening all over the world. And we try to put the end on our calendar. The world's tendency is to laugh at it, just to slough it off as another piece of religious superstition that isn't really worth much troubling ourselves over. Just eat and drink our way through life, for tomorrow you're going to die. But Jesus has words that go counterculture to the world today. He would have you to be alert and watchful, waiting and watching and even praying earnestly, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Not with your day full of fear and dread, but with hope and with longing. The end of the world, as we know it as Christians, means the coming of Jesus with great power and glory. The last day is a day of gathering, as the angels of God collect the elect, that is, his baptized believers, from all of the ends of the earth and from the ends of heaven. It's a day like no other. It is a great family reunion that we anticipate, a reunion with those saints who've gone on before us, your husband, your wife, your child, your grandchild, your son, your daughter, your relatives that you have lost in the faith, all who have gone before us, all who are now scattered abroad in various tombs and cemeteries, gathered together with his church. It is a day of making one what now appears to be fragmented and hopelessly scattered. It is a day where everything in this world falls apart and the church is brought together in unity. Jesus gives the signs of life to us today. He compares these cosmic and supernatural things happening simply like the budding of a fig tree with summer. Again, his whole imagery, his whole perspective on the last day is not dread and fear. It's all about life, the perfect life. The destruction of heaven and earth is a sign of life. Who would have guessed it? Who would have known? Truly, truly, I say to you, he says, when he ever says that, truly, truly, I say to you, or in the older language, verily, verily, I say to you, he is simply saying to you, wake up and listen to what I'm about to say. Truly, truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my words will never pass away. When will it happen? When will it come? You don't know the day or the hour. They are hidden, but they are on the mind of the Father. They are hidden so much that even Jesus himself doesn't know when it's going to happen. This means don't try to find out. Don't try to believe anyone who says that they can find out, because no one knows. Instead, he tells us today to be on guard, be alert, be sober, be watchful, be vigilant, be like a doorkeeper waiting for the master to return. And no matter what hour of the day or night that he comes, the watchman is ready, waiting, focused, awake. Now, to be sure, this doesn't mean that you can't go to sleep tonight. Doesn't mean that you go quit your job and go running all around Grass Valley or Nevada City with signs saying, the end is near, the end is near. It doesn't mean that we walk out of here today and go staring up into the stars and the skies, gaping for Jesus to appear. It means that life goes on as normal. It means that you continue on in what God has given to do for you and with you and in you through your vocation, with the knowledge and the understanding that any day now could be his return. Any day could be the world's last day. And we should not panic or despair when we think on this, because he is coming for you. You've been baptized in the death of Jesus. His Good Friday became already your last day. You have died with him, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, already here and now. So that if the heavens and the earth do fall away, his word will never fall away. The word that he spoke from the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," it is finished. It is done. The last day, the final day of God, brings your baptismal day to its completion and fulfillment. It's a day of your rising to new and everlasting life. The day when all that God has promised to you and given to you in baptism through the death and life of Jesus comes to completion. And you get to see what you know must be, as a believer, something that is incomprehensible now, veiled to us now, but there revealed in the fullness of all his glory. It's a day that we truly should anticipate and pray for. So what do we do now, Pastor? How then shall we live knowing that the end of the world is coming? It's the end of the world as we know it, and we do feel fine. No matter what rages on around us, no matter who is trying to harm us, persecute us, malign us, or say all manners of evil because of us, it makes no difference. They have done this to the prophets. They did this to our Lord. They did it to the disciples and to the apostles, and they will do it to us. But we must carry on. We must continue on in, as what Jude says today, this most holy faith. This most holy faith. The one and only faith that really matters amidst all of the religions in this world. Build yourselves up in this most holy faith, he says. The faith that was once delivered to the holy ones, the saints before you. The faith that looks to Christ, that clings to him and confesses him to be the only Savior and Redeemer, and who by his own blood has made you his own. We pray in the Holy Spirit. The end times call for prayer. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, when you see bombs going off and threats made against us and our country, when you have the peculiar conversation in your head of, is this the end? It is a time for prayer. To pray, yes, come Lord Jesus, come now, come quickly. We are not left alone in this life to drift alone. We have the gift of prayer, the invitation to call upon God in every trouble, the promise that he hears our prayers and receives them with great joy. Jude also says, keep in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of Jesus. And yes, we are waiting for mercy from him on the last day, never wrath. For we receive that mercy now in the form of forgiveness. It was there in the font where he washed you of your sins. It is here today as we come to this holy altar, being fed by the body and blood of Jesus, being forgiven, being set free from all of the fears, the doubts, and the worries and concerns. To keep in the love of God is to be receiving from Jesus his love immensely poured out for you. And that's what we are doing here and now. It's not about avoiding hell so much as about more receiving heaven today. A foretaste of that feast to come, a little sneak preview, an apocalypse now, a revelation, a sight given to us now of the coming attractions of the last day. Jude also says, have mercy on those who doubt. We are here to support one another. Living in the now and not yet of the end times can bring some doubt, some temptation to others. But we do not live alone, just as we do not believe alone. We are a body of believers, not a compilation of individuals who have their own individual beliefs. It's terribly tempting in this day and age to write off the doubting and wondering. It's easier to rest with the 99 sheep and to forget about the one lost one, but our Lord will not have it. He died for all, and he will seek all. Jude simply gives us a sober warning for those who would reach out to the fringes, who would reach out as the church reaches out. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Don't think for a moment that we are immune to that temptation. For if you think that you are strong, you will fall. It can happen to any one of us as well. And if it does not, you'll be grateful for those who took the risk to seek you out. If this last day all depended on us and us trying to usher it in, us trying to figure it all out when it's going to happen, we would be doomed. It all rests on Jesus and the holy faith that we have been given now today that we walk in. The holy faith that doesn't leave us, the holy faith that guides us, guards us, and directs us to the end. It is the end of the world as we know it, and we are fine because our Lord has come and has taken our greatest enemies of sin, death, and the devil, and he has won the victory for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the Lord, the presence of his glory, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before every age, and now and to all the ages. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen.